Every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee every hour, most holy one. O make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. O bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. How often have you sung that old hymn, I need thee every hour. And what a beautiful, truthful affirmation and declaration of our conviction that song was that you just listened to. People need the Lord. Well, it seems that the vast majority of people will deny that. And the multitude say, I don't need anybody. I don't need God. I don't need you. I don't need anybody. I am my own self-made man or woman. I can make it by myself. How foolish. Oh, no, you can't. Maybe there are a lot of things that you can do. Maybe you can build empires. You know, some of the most ungodly men who ever lived, bloodthirsty, violent, cruel, have been great builders. That's hard to believe, but as you travel the world and you see the architect of this world, so much of it seems to have been built by men who were bloodthirsty and unbelievably cruel. So maybe you can build empires and giant structures. They endeavored to do that in the book of Genesis as they were building a tower that would reach toward heaven, the Tower of Babel. Man, in his wisdom and ingenuity, can do a lot. But he can never do enough to come up to the standards of righteousness, not in his own strength. And even, I mean, let's face it, even all that building and engineering, even though someone may say it was my skill and my talent, who gave it to you? Who gave you that ability? Who gave you that naturally born instinct and talent to be able to do what you're doing? And if you studied for it to learn it, who gave you the strength, the breath that you breathe, the ability to get out there and do it? You know, many a person who has started out trying to do something couldn't do it because of illness or sudden death or some tragedy that left them penniless and they had to give up their life's dream. So who gave you his favor and allowed you to do the things that you're doing, even though you may say it was my might and power and my wisdom that got me all this? Thou shalt remember it was the Lord thy God who gave you the breath that you breathe and the strength to do what you're doing. But besides all that, with all the building and the prosperity that one can do in this life, still, you can never do enough to come up to the glory of God and to his requirements. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us would be like Belshazzar, who saw the handwriting on the wall, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Every one of us come up short. We have sinned. Every one of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. There is not one that doeth good, no, not one. Every one of us are sinners in need of God, in need of his touch. It wasn't weakness when David said, I am poor and needy. Even though he was a very rich and wealthy and famous king, the king of all Israel, yet he said, I am poor and needy. He wasn't talking about riches, money, silver or gold, success. He was talking about the poverty of his soul. Lord, I need thee. Oh God, I need you. People need the Lord. That's the very first of the Beatitudes, isn't it? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That gets it started. You won't receive anything else until, first of all, you recognize the fact that you are in need of God. That's step number one. I am poor and needy. It has nothing to do with riches, prosperity, success. It has to do with the poverty of my soul. Lord, I need you. I cannot get to heaven by myself. And anyway, after you've lived your life, and you've gone through this world, and you've put in your 70, 80, or 100 years or so, and then your journey comes to an end, so what? You became the president of the bank. So what? You became the president of your corporation. So what? That you became the chief in town. When your journey comes to a close and your heart has not been right with God, Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Isn't that sad how that the vast majority of people just give all of their energy, all their waking hours to being successful in this world and give no thought of eternity? And yet our lives here in this world are so brief, and the older one gets, the quicker the years fly. It seems that no sooner do you celebrate Christmas until it's time to celebrate Christmas again. The older you get. Now, when you're little children, it seems that your birthday will never come. Christmas will never come. The day when school is going to be out will never come. But as you get older, the years fly by. And how brief our span of life here is on this earth. So wouldn't you agree that a person is so very foolish, who spends all of his energy, puts all of his focus of his attention on this world and what he or she can do in the here and now, and give no thought about the eons of eternity, where we're going to spend it? With God or without him? So I think that probably the most important thing you can say today, well, not probably, absolutely the most important thing you can say today is, Lord, I need you. God, I need you. I can never make it to heaven by myself. I can never be found pleasing in God's sight unless I am clothed upon with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Lord, I need you. And dear friend, if you know the Lord, you need nobody else. And people do need him. I need him, don't you? Oh, yes, you do.
If you know the you only need the Lord.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of food, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down to the depths again. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they are quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a pool of water, and dry ground into water springs, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. Are these words familiar to you? Psalm 107. I love these verses, and it certainly lets us know that even when we get ourselves in a heap of trouble, and it's our own doing, we make our own bed hard, because of our sins and iniquities, because of our hard-heartedness and our stiff necks and our rebellion against God, we get ourselves in trouble. Yet, when we cry unto the Lord in our trouble, he hears our cry and brings us out of our distresses. That's good, isn't it? Whether the trouble that you experience is the consequence of someone else's sin, or just simply the fact that we're living in a broken down world, or if you brought it on yourself, if it was your own rebellious heart wanting to go your own way, and you fell into all kinds of disaster and complicated troubles, I can tell you, on the basis of God's precious word, that if you will cry unto the Lord in your distresses, whether it was someone else's fault or your own fault, and you brought it all on yourself, cry out to God with a penitent heart, sincerely, really mean it, from the depths of your soul, really mean it, come to God with penitence and brokenness. And God will forgive you and restore you and help you. You remember David, and he's one of my favorite characters in the scripture. He brought it all on himself. You want to read a sordid chapter in the Bible? Read 2 Samuel chapter 11. Absolutely unbelievable that David could get himself into so much trouble, and nobody caused it. He brought it on himself. In an unguarded moment, he looked lustfully at this woman, Bathsheba, and you know the rest of the story, and all of his involvement and goings-on. And the last verse of that chapter says that even though David tried to cover things up so that nobody would know, and he had a wild scheme in order to throw off any suspicion on himself when Bathsheba's baby was going to be born. But that last verse says, but the thing that David did displeased the Lord. The thing that David had done displeased God. David brought it all on himself. And read the heartache that it caused him. He sure made his own bed hard and heaped upon his own head trouble after trouble, woe after woe. But even though that's one of the worst chapters in the Bible, I can tell you one of the best, and that's Psalm 51. Psalm 51 also was written by David, and it was a prayer for forgiveness. And it is very noteworthy to see how that he opens that chapter by saying, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Have mercy upon me, O God. He doesn't say, Lord, have mercy upon me because I am the one who wrote the 23rd Psalm. I am the one who has served all these years as king of Israel. I am the one who slew that giant Goliath when he defied the armies of the living God. Lord, you know all of my goodness. Now, on this basis, forgive me my sins. He doesn't say that. He says, O God, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness. That is tremendous. What a message that is. As we come to the mercy seat of God today, we don't come saying, Lord, you know all my goodness, all the nice things I've ever done to anybody, and you know that I'm deserving of your blessing. We don't do that. We come and say, Lord, according to your grace, according to your loving kindness and your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Am I talking to someone today? Am I talking to someone today who you're in a heap of trouble, nobody else's fault except your own? You brought it on yourself. You know, you can pray David's prayer. You can say, Lord, have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions. I don't deserve it. You know that's what the word grace means, the unmerited favor of God. I don't deserve his compassion. I don't deserve his mercy. But God gives it to me anyway when I come with a penitent heart and a broken spirit, contrition of soul. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You come like that. You come as the prodigal son returned to his father, penitent and broken. And you just watch our heavenly Father garb you with the best robe and put a ring on your hand and shoes on your feet and kill the fatted calf, and there will be rejoicing in heaven. Even though you brought it all on yourself, the prodigal son did. He brought it all on himself. He didn't have to work in the pig pen. He chose that life. He chose it. But one day he came to himself and he said, what am I doing here? I'm going back to my father and home. I'm going to ask his forgiveness. And he comes back home. Dear friend, you can come back home, even though you brought it all on yourself. You can come with a broken heart and pray, God, forgive me my sins according to your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. And he'll do it. Oh, pray in faith, believing. People do need the Lord. Reach out to him. To pray that way today, why don't we just pray right now in the closing seconds of this broadcast. Lord Jesus, I give my heart to you. I surrender all. Forgive me my sins. Wash me, cleanse me. Lord Jesus, come into this heart of mine and do for me by your grace what is impossible to me by nature. In Jesus' name, amen. This is John Thrasher. I've enjoyed being with you and sharing these moments of morning devotions with you. Have a good day. God bless you abundantly.